So we'll be returning to Carol Denny in a moment, but first, a musical pause.
Well, I'm a working woman and a single mother too. I got a full-time job, it seemed the only thing to do. Now I work 5 days, it's a 40-hour week. And here's my life, come close and take a peek. And here's my life, come close and take a peek. It's $1,200 a month before the SSI and tax. The take-home pay is $900 and a half. And the rent takes half of that, leaving $475. And $100 for the groceries to keep us all alive. $100 for the groceries to keep us all alive. From the $375, take out $50 for the heat. And $50 for the lights and phone utilities complete. From the $275, take my public transport pass. To get me to and from this job for which I bust my ass. To get me to and from this job for which I bust my ass. But I haven't finished yet. No, my babies are so young. That one is not in school yet, he has not yet begun. So I pay $200 to a mom who lives near me. So she can spend 10 hours with him a day instead of me. So she can spend 10 hours a day with him instead of me. And at the doctor bill, the cleaning bill, the shoes. Prescriptions and medicine, birthday gifts and brownie dues. And take all of that from the sum of 75. And your guess is as good as mine, just how we stay alive. And your guess is as good as mine, just how we stay alive. Bankers are so kind, they've given me some credit cards for when I fall behind. Now I make my monthly payments, a mere 39 to go. Just looking at this nightmare makes me want to stay at home. Just looking at this nightmare makes me want to stay at home. Well, they're trying to get welfare mothers into full-time jobs. If we aren't thrilled to leave the home, they call us lazy slobs. Offer minimum wage, no benefits, and no child care naturally. So more can join the weary ranks of working poor like me. So more can join the weary ranks of working poor like me. Well, I'd like to take each pot-bellied pal who talks that way and let him try to take a walk in my shoes for a day. He'd be screaming and crying and begging and irate to raise the living wage now before it is too late. To raise the living wage now before it is too late. For I'm a working woman and a single mother too. I love my full-time job, it seemed the only thing to do. And until that happy day that the living wage is raised, I'll do a job, stay with my kids, and home is where I'll stay. This rich land can afford it, we have got to find a way. We've got to raise the living wage, we've got to find a way.
That was Living Wage by Kristen Lems from her album Equality Road. Carol Denny and the latest anti-homeless laws coming up in Berkeley.
Because there's nobody with a sleeping bag in your doorway when you walk out in the morning. That's what they want. And I feel like, wow, I do not want the visible signs of our horrifying rental and housing policies tucked away and hidden away, whether in jail or down by the river or anywhere else. I want them right by the people who make those decisions, and that is downtown, in our town.
Mm-hmm.
That's who's making it. It is the DBA and all of their board members, who are the biggest LLCs and property owners, many of whom are situated well out of town or Chicago or something else. The people who control our town are real estate brokers, and the city council knows it, and they go right along with it. And I got to say, liberals,
yeah,
who love that sound, housing first, that comes rolling out of their mouth every which way. And, you know, the people I know who have been situated in housing, like, they're situated in housing in Hayward, in Fremont. I mean, after years on the street, you'll be situated in some other town.
What do you hear about first they came for the homeless and other homeless encampments around
still
town?
Here. Yeah, we have a lot of encampments kind of sprinkled around. So there's got the freeway crowd all the way up and down Berkeley. I mean, there is almost no break between the tents that are under the 880 freeway. And then you got the 580. There's huge amounts of people that go straight into Oakland. There's over 3,000 people tented out all over Oakland. There are people just outside closed off BART, new BART fence near the Here There sign. There's people on the path that we call the Santa Fe. It used to be a railway, the Santa Fe path that sort of goes north-south all the way through town. There's probably 15 people up there. So what happened when they cleared off the front lawn of City Hall was people broke into smaller groups, but I got no problem with that. They're being allowed to stay because in most parts of Berkeley, there's really a solid, lovely, disorganized group of neighbors around all of them who just help out, who bring by clothing, who bring by food, who check in. Like, I'll see people. I check on the one nearest me, a couple of the ones nearest me all the time. I always see people, they're off for a hike or they're off to the store and they just stop in, say hi, anything you need. You know, would you like, I don't know, can I bring you toilet paper, something. And I wouldn't know how to quantify that in numbers, but it's powerful.
What's happening?
A lot of people who just don't hate you because you're having a hard time.
What's happening with the anti-war situation with the Syrian bombing? Has there been much response in Berkeley to that?
There was a response around Lake Merritt, you know, sort of the usual speakers and singers and stuff like that. But yeah, it's definitely not every day. Definitely, people are. They just had their rent board convention, which, like, everybody's looking at me like, why weren't you there? But I went to an alternative political event where we're trying to organize to go up and assist voter registration in district, I think it's District 10, it's up near Tracy. And the thing is, if people would vote in that particular district, you could flip the seat from Republican to Democrat. And that seems like the more important thing to do. Although I talked to this one activist who was there, and the thing is, she and I, we don't even know each other that well, but both of us are absolutely disgusted with the entire Berkeley City Council, because even if you don't agree with, I mean, a lot of them apparently do agree with more anti-homeless laws and are about to pass more, but even if you don't agree, those people are not pounding podiums and pulling together the opposition. They're not mad.
No.
And that makes us mad. We feel like, wait a minute.
It should.
Like,
yeah.
Not like anybody's listening to us.
You know, I've been reading recently a book by Marge Percy. I don't know if I've mentioned you in any.
Oh,
probably.
She's a great writer. I really enjoy her writing.
Yeah, I'm reading City of Darkness, City of Light. I don't know if you've seen that.
I don't think I've read that.
It's about the French Revolution and about six people. She follows six people through the French Revolution of the 1790s.
Wow.
Mainly women that she follows through. There are a couple of guys downtown.
Interesting.
Robespierre and, I guess, Condorcet, the scientist.
Mm-hmm.
But the women, and there's a lot of focus on the action of the sections and the commune in Paris. And when you mention the people who are around the encampments supporting them, I wonder if there is a possibility of the encampments doing
a reciprocal activity, whether the people who are living around them are sufficiently insecure in their jobs and their rents. And it was a matter of food in Paris in the 1790s. It wasn't just, you know, lodging. I mean, people, you know, they were starving, as I understand from what I've read. And I don't think that's happening in Berkeley, at least to people who are in houses mostly. But I've heard a lot about food insecurity. Is there much chance of any of these barriers being broken down between unhoused and housed people, renters and homeless folks?
I think there's, I just wrote a little piece about, my preference really is to have, I'll back up once more. If I were mayor, I would just turn to each of the, 8 districts we have and say, select 3 areas where you're willing to harbor a group of people in tents or in makeshift shelter, and put it together. Yeah, I want to see that on my desk in 2 weeks. Work with your neighbors, work with your constituents, but I want 3 suggestions, either from you or you working with your constituent from each district. And I would just try to make sure that each of the political districts in Berkeley is manifesting a dignified place for people to just safely harbor and meeting the people.
You know, that was tried, Carol, in either San Jose or I think it's San Francisco, where, you know, they want maybe it was with the navigation centers or some such thing, or tiny houses, whatever late scheme that the housing czars had in their various cities. But I think they could find virtually nobody would agree to do that. Maybe it was they were talking to the wrong kinds of people, or maybe they weren't talking enough to the community. And
they weren't given an assignment. They didn't have a mayor. But Barrett Lee was not just turning to them and saying, "Put this on my desk. I want 3 suggestions of placement, and I want it on my desk in a week, or we'll choose it for you."
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say that to them.
Mm-hmm.
He was just going like, "Well, you know, if you like one, like maybe you'd make a suggestion." It was really lip-wristed, and I feel strongly like what we have right now is consequences of scattering people off City Hall's lawn is, well, people had to figure out where to go, so they figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
And those neighbors nearby, there's probably resentment in some of the neighbors nearby, but there seem to be, every time I check in anyway, it seems like they're still there, they're doing their best, and there's people bringing by fresh clothing or willing to take clothing and wash it, doing stuff like that. Now, I really enjoy that because that is how people live anyway. Anybody who does have a place to live is probably working in a cooperative way with their neighbors to help take care of the crazy guy next door or something like that. This is not new, and it's not hard, and it doesn't cost money. It's just sharing a little bit and taking a little time.
Well, I imagine that's what you do in your building, but again, you're a cooperatively owned building, right?
Well, we used to. Got to say, our building went through a lot of turnover and then got taken by someone who used to go with me to the tenant union meetings and used to be reliably liberal or left or something like that. Reliably compassionate is what I'll say. And now she's become an eviction machine. There are at least 2 people I see, you know, pushing around shopping carts who had adult onset schizophrenia who used to live here and just had the misfortune of having that gene or wherever it comes from, who are now on the street because, of course, they started to screw up being able to pay the rent, screw up their job, stuff like that. And, hey, no mercy at this end. But we didn't start that way. And I always harbor dreams of restoring our sense of balance about being a place that welcomes and takes care of people with vulnerabilities. But that's not what's going on right now. They want to sell this place and turn it into market rate. And so I am right now working with the rent board to declare that my unit, at least, and 3 other units here need to be certified by the rent board. because, hey, I'm not a member, and at least two other people here are not members. I was thrown out of the membership, but they never were part of it. And I'm just saying that, hey, those units under Berkeley law have to be registered. And what'll happen if I mean, maybe they'll just evict me, and that'll be that, but I think that I'm protected in some ways and can argue that our rents need to roll back to what would have been under rent control.
Now, doesn't Berkeley have a just eviction ordinance as well as rent control?
Yeah, but what happens with that, yes, it does, but what happens with that is most people are scared to death and they just leave.
But you don't sound like one of those people.
Nope, I'll try. They tried to evict me. They failed. So now they just hate me. And, hey,
well... Well, what about that cooperative stuff? With your, so you're not cooperating with your neighbors anymore? Is that what's going on?
Well, I actually... because I just won in court, stayed here, slowly over time, the effort of this woman who controls our board... I mean, what she did... The board used to be 12 people strong, and it's shrunk down to, I think, 5, all of whom she appoints and controls. She has a much tougher time convincing people these days that I'm a terrible person, because I don't care who you are. I give you a big smile. I'll give you a ride to work if your car tire goes flat. I'm just nice to the people here, and so they can't quite figure it out why she hates me so much. And, you know, I really... can't even think about it anymore. For me, it's life or death for people on the streets around here, and I'm not going to watch this building just be turned into market rate without a fight.
So you're also, of course, we're approaching the end of April, or the middle anyway, and you write a monthly pepper spray times 4-pager for the Daily Planet and also just generally.
Yeah.
You sound like you're still in good spirits. Are you still on track with that?
Yeah, still doing that. It's, I think, the 27th year or 28th year of publication. I'm very proud of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, politicians are a little uneasy around me because it's pretty hardcore criticism of the city of Berkeley, but none of it's personal. I mean, I Sophie Hahn shook my hand this morning, and Jesse Ottegien looked terrified. I think that's really a good thing.
The guess, definitely.
My feeling is it matters a whole lot less whom you put in office than that person really feels the pressure from the people to do the right thing.
Yeah. I hope that actually works. It sounds like it's not working in Berkeley, but I think it should still be tried.
It has worked so far. We beat back their last anti-sitting law. We can beat this one back, but it's just, what a time suck.
Yeah, but it's also, I mean, you've had encampments, and, you know, for the last year and a half, and they've, you know, year and a quarter, they've been in power, and they have, all they've given you is bullshit. I mean,
been successful at taking the frustration of the people on the streets and with the people being on the streets, and then turning it around so that it pumps their own agenda of, like, keeping the rent high and keeping everybody who's on the street in a pipeline out of town. And it's our job, your job, my job, and the activists I work with, it's our job to illuminate that and say, this is what you want?
Mm-hmm.
This how you want to be represented? Is this making sense? Is this how you want your taxpayer dollars spent? Because this is the most expensive thing to do, more expensive than just putting people through college and giving them a place to live.
Well, I think it's
I
think it's the community that you're speaking to rather than
this
bunch of clowns at the city council.
Berkeley's smart enough to know better than the Port of City Council that does stuff like that, and so is Santa Cruz.
And if people want to...
capitalize on our turnover. You know, we turn over a lot, so you got to be on your toes and ready to educate the next crew that comes in the next year.
Uh-huh. Well, if people want to find you, of course, and regular listeners probably know this, you can go to the Daily Planet website, thedailyplanet.org, I think it is. Is that right?
I think so. And I'll be playing at the Back Room in Berkeley on Friday night. Starts at 8. And going to talk a lot about homelessness.
Good. Any new music coming out on YouTube that we can rip off from you without paying?
Yeah. Go type in either Cherub Color, that's my name, or Kale, Why So Much Kale, on YouTube, and enjoy my new Cranky, which will debut at the Back Room next Friday.
Your new cranky, meaning that's one song or a bunch?
Movie. It's a paper movie, and you turn it
right.
And little pictures go by.
But I can't show those on the radio, Carol.
No, but the song is up there, too.
Oh, okay. All right, well, that's all I've got time for at the moment. But
bye, Santa Cruz.
Well, thank you, Carol.
Take good care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
You too.
If you walk down to the ocean with the waves for company, you will hear the distant ringing of a cell phone in the sea. Times were hard and then got harder. There was more than I could bear. You took a cell phone from a stranger and I launched it in the air. There's a true sense of belonging. Now that phone is in the sea. I look back and I am sorry. I don't know what came over me. Across the way.
And to end on a gloomy note, here's a story from the April 20th Friday San Francisco Chronicle, the Bay Area section. Homeless camp cleared, up to 150 lived there after the wildfires. A sprawling homeless camp in southern Santa Rosa that swelled to more than 150 people after the North Bay wildfires was cleared by authorities Thursday. That was a week ago. Many tent dwellers disappeared into nearby woodlands and fields when several dozen firefighters and police officers showed up in the early morning to clear the camp in the Roseland section of town. Authorities were enforcing a court order that the camp be empty by the end of the day. When they arrived, most of the tent dwellers were packing or already heading out with shopping carts and backpacks or in ramshackle cars. The sweep proceeded with an air of gloomy quiet. Outreach counselors from the nonprofit Catholic Charities worked throughout the winter and spring to get people living in the camp into shelter or housing. By Thursday, they had ushered more than 50 inside and designed tentative housing plans for 50 more. In other words, only one-third of the people supposedly have had housing or shelter. And again, shelter can mean a very limited, cramped, unhealthy, undignified, no privacy, up at 5 and get out, get treated like a 6-year-old situation. About 50 people lived in the camp before the fire swept through the North Bay in October. The subsequent influx swelled its population to more than 150, making it the biggest homeless camp in Sonoma County. Thursday's evacuation date set by a federal judge's order, more than 50 people still lived on the windswept parking lots behind a Dollar Tree store. "We knew we had to leave, so what can you do but go," said Tesla Meyer, 55, who stuffed the family car with bundles and blankets and relocated to a field a couple of miles away. "It's sad to see this disbanded. The camp had troubles, yeah, but not everyone has somewhere else to go." Meyer is one of the lucky ones. She got a rent subsidy voucher from a Catholic Charities outreach counselor last week and believes she will find a new home by next month. She should be grateful she's not living in Santa Cruz. "Vouchers here don't mean much." "I can understand why people are anxious," said Margaret Van Villet, director of the County Community Development Commission, which oversees homeless programs. "There's a lack of trust. Some people had bad experiences with shelters, and we've made improvements over the past year, but not everybody knows that. I'm very hopeful that most folks here have gotten into our coordinated entry system," the nice wordage, "for services. We're trying very hard to help everyone. And getting paid for it, too, perhaps." The camp was ordered closed because the county had approved plans for a new development on the land. The project will include 175 apartments, about half of which will be affordable housing. And, of course, the sentence doesn't include none of which will be within the range of the people that it will be displacing. That's about it for this edition of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. If you have updates you want to pass on, comments about what you've heard, or want more information about civil rights projects in Santa Cruz that I'm stumbling around with, do give me a call on the Huff Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom line at 423-4833, 423-HUFF, H-U-F-F. You can also come to a Huff meeting next Wednesday, the first Wednesday in May. It's going to be at the Sub Rosa at 11 o'clock in the morning. And as usual, we'll be toasting each other with coffee, probably with cream and sugar, if you like that kind of thing. Thanks for listening.